Nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm gonna eat some worms. Little ones, big ones, itty bitty bitty ones. I'm gonna eat some worms. That's my feel sorry for yourself song that I learned as a little kid. If people didn't like you, that's just a silly little song that people would sing. Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? That's my question. Have you ever wanted people to feel sorry for you? Have you met people who feel sorry for themselves? And have you ever heard this expression? Yeah, but that's going on in your life. There's people in the world that have got much worse problems, challenges, hassles than you have. Why do you feel sorry for yourself? And in the defense of humans, if there's a, and we'll look at it from three different areas. If there's a really bad thing that happens somewhere else in the world, thousands of miles away, we go, oh yeah, that's bad. But it doesn't really affect us personally. So it's a bad thing that happened, but we don't really have any feeling about it because we're not emotionally connected to it. If that same thing happens perhaps in our country or in our city or in our suburb, we might feel a little bit more connected to it. So, oh, that's terrible because it happened so close to me. If something happens to you, so, and I'll use the example, if there's an earthquake in another country, it's usually just a news story, oh yeah, there was an earthquake in another country. If there's an earthquake in your country or close to you or in your city, then yeah, that's, we take a little bit more notice, oh my God, there was an earthquake in my city today. But if your house was completely destroyed by an earthquake today, there's a whole different emotional attachment to it. And do you then have the right to feel sorry for yourself because this bad thing happened to you? Now, that same bad thing may have happened on the other side of the world a week ago and thousands of people got killed, but there's no emotional attachment to it, no feeling for it. Now, the reverse of that, if you lose your house in your city, in your suburb, there might be somebody 10,000 miles away that has no real interest in that happened to you. The reason I'm sharing that is we seem to spend a lot of time, have you noticed, on sharing our hard times with people. I've got a headache, I feel sick, I've got a sore foot, I've got a virus, I've got a tough job, my relationship's not working, I don't have enough money. And we tend to share with other people, often people that we don't know, that we've got a challenge, we've got a problem, there's something wrong with us. I'm in my begging position because is it possible that if you share something with somebody else about what's wrong with your life, that other person may be having something worse go on in their life? And I'll just use some examples. You might say that you've got a headache, but you meet somebody you might say, oh, I feel terrible, I've got a headache. And the person that you share it with might have had somebody in their family just diagnosed with a brain cancer. Now, I'm just going to use that as an example. How would you explain, if you then found out, or somebody said to you, you don't have to explain to that person, somebody that they love is going to die of brain cancer, and you're moaning, whinging, and complaining about your headache. How would you explain that? And I use a really interesting example. There's a motivational speaker who has no arms and no legs, and he's a very powerful speaker. Obviously, that is a very, he would call it an interesting, he calls it a diffability. So he's not disabled, he's just different. And he lives his life like that with no arms and no legs. If you had a sore foot or a sore toe or you'd broken a fingernail and he asks you how you are, are you the person that would say to that person, if you met that person with no arms and no legs, oh, I've just broken my fingernail and it really, really hurts? I think that would be embarrassing. I couldn't do that. And I'm sharing that with you because is it possible that if we have a challenge, if we have a problem, if we want to whinge, moan and complain about something, that the people that we talk to, that we tell our problem to, may have no interest whatsoever in what we're talking about because they don't even know us? Because often you'll hear that, how are you today? Oh, I'm terrible, I feel sick. And it's to a complete stranger. Well, that stranger doesn't care. And the question is, have you added any value to their life? And of course, the answer is no. But what if you share something, and I'll just use an interesting example. Where I live in New Zealand is in extreme drought at the moment. It's been many, many months. For the farmers who want to operate a farm here, it's become a very challenging situation. So every single day, everyone looks at the sky hoping there's going to be grey clouds and hope there's going to be free water coming out of the sky. But a farmer shared with me today, I was in the supermarket, and he said, yeah, I'm sick of bloody ringing Australia where it's
pissing down rain. That was his quote, not mine. Pissing down rain every day. We would desperately love some rain, and those people are whinging and moaning and complaining that it's raining every day. See, even if you don't like the rain, what value are you adding to somebody's life by saying, oh, I'm sick of this bloody rain? And even worse, the farmer who desperately wants rain, it makes him think even more about his situation. And Rowie, what does it matter? I'm hoping that as humans, we don't want to be the human being that takes value out of somebody's life. I would like to think that as human beings, we want to add value to people's lives. So there's two parts to that. If I say something and it doesn't add value to somebody's life, why would I say it? Why would I want to take value away, consciously or subconsciously? Why would I want to not inject positivity and value into somebody's life? And the worst part of that is to take value out of their life. Which is why compliments and praise are delightful and criticism and gossip and being nasty is just horrible. Why would you do that? What value does it add? Obviously not to the person that you're gossiping to or gossiping about. But what does it do to your own brain space? As you say negative things, what's happening to your own brain? That's always my question. If you don't add value, you're devaluing from other people. What are you telling yourself about yourself? Do you feel proud of the fact, and this is my question I ask, I'm not asking you this, I ask myself this every day. Before I open my mouth to speak, will this add value? And then at the end of every conversation that I have with anybody at any time, I always analyze the conversation. What did I say? Did I ask enough questions? Could I have asked different questions, better questions? Could I have been a better communicator in that situation so that I added more value to that conversation? Because I want to be the person that when I walk out of a conversation, I have added value to that person's life, not detracted value from it. So it's just a very personal and very, I think, an important question, because we live in a world where criticism and gossip and being nasty and saying horrible things have become very, very normal. And why is that? Why would we want to do that? So if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, do you want to be the person that lights up the room when you walk in? Hey, they're here. Woohoo! The room just became brighter. Versus you leave the room and the room becomes brighter because you've left. Thank God she's gone. Horrible, miserable piece of yuckiness who can only say horrible things about people. So there's the great question. What kind of person are you? Who do you want to be, or how do you want to be remembered? What do you want to be remembered for? And do you want to be remembered as the person that adds value to a conversation? And if you meet somebody who you don't know, do you know what's going on with them? And this is just, again, a very personal story. There's a very gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, supermodel-looking woman who I am aware of. And she has a debilitating challenge with her physical body, but it's not something you can see. So when you meet her, all you would think is, wow, what a gorgeous girl. And interestingly, one of her friends shared with me that a lot of people hate, particularly women, hate her on sight because she's so gorgeous. And their quote was, they think because she's so gorgeous that she must be a B-I-T-C-H. And people call her that behind her back. And there's two things about that girl. Number one is she's got something going on in her life that is just horrible that I would not wish on anybody in the world physically to be happening to them. And she's living with that as a beautiful young girl. But not only that, she is a beautiful young girl inside and out. She would do anything for you. She's friendly and happy and positive and handling this horrible situation with grace and style. The other really interesting thing is she's got this horrible thing going on in her life. She's got people in her life who do know what she's going through, and they still will whinge, moan and complain about having a sore foot or a rash under their arm or having a bad day because their boss yelled at them. And this girl is going through something that, again, I would wish for nobody. So whatever you're going through, you probably don't need to share it, because why would you share something with somebody if they can't fix it? And I always ask that question. If you've got a sore foot, you talk to somebody who fixes foots. You don't go to the car mechanic. If you've got financial challenges, you talk to the financial planner or the banker. You don't talk to your next door neighbour or borrow money off your friends, because that doesn't connect effectively if you want to be recognised as a person who takes responsibility for their life. We can whinge, moan and complain, and that's an interesting quote, isn't it? You can be a winner or a whiner, but you can't be both. You can be a winner or a whiner, but you can't be both. I choose to be a winner. Super duper doo, how are you? Winning, happy and positive. Woohoo!